Hi there. We'd like to welcome you to the virtual kitchen table. We are Erin from Everlearning, Haley from Taking a Kinder Path, and myself, Ashley from Ashley as Mama and Storytime Shelves. We're gathering to have conversations about family life and home education, most specifically unschooling, which is sometimes known as self-directed education, or as I often refer to it, consent-based learning. We'll be sharing experiences and ideas, learning as we go. We hope you'll pull a chair up to the table and join us. Welcome back to the virtual kitchen table. I'm here today with Erin. Hi, Erin.
Hi, Ashley.
And I'm here today with Haley. Hi, Haley.
Hello.
Hi. I think I can say for all of us that we're really looking forward to, well, we look forward to all of our episodes, but I think we're excited about this one because we're talking again about the holidays. So this will be our holiday episode. And this year we thought we would talk about how to be intentional around the holidays. And we each kind of have our own ideas that we've thought of, that we've found in the past that have worked for us that we thought we would come and share today. So I can get us started with sharing one of the ideas that's actually been on my mind quite a bit lately because I've been preparing for something else. But this is something that I think has been really helpful. And we've talked about this on the podcast before, but thinking specifically around the holidays, I would say I do this even more because the holidays are just, or can be, such a busy time for all of us. So the first one I wanted to share, and something that I've been intentionally doing, is recognizing my own limits, my own limitations, and like my own boundaries. One way that I've been doing this, probably for the past two Christmases anyway, we celebrate Christmas, is practicing, or even just being aware of like my menstrual cycle awareness, which I think I've mentioned on the podcast before briefly, but maybe not. But I didn't learn much at all about my menstrual cycle and what that, I mean, I knew I had one, but as far as like the different phases and what the hormones are doing throughout the month, I really kind of dove into that probably close to a couple years ago now, and well, it would be a couple years ago, and I still have a lot to learn, but just the little bit that I did read about, and I listened to the podcast and did a little bit of a deep dive. And then I started tracking for a good 3 or 4 months. Well, I tracked for longer, but after tracking just how I was feeling, my energy levels, what, you know, the days that I felt like I had more energy to give to the kids and days that I had, you know, I just needed to rest more, or maybe had some more alone time. I started noticing patterns pretty, I would say around 3 months of tracking. And I didn't track, like I've just jotted down a few point four notes. Actually, I would record it in the same book where I would do my reverse planning that I've talked about before with you guys. I would just jot down, you know, low energy, hips are sore, had a headache, or maybe things like had lots of energy, could really focus today. Like there's a whole bunch of things that once I started just jotting down notes after a few months, I could really see the patterns, and it just kind of confirmed what I had read about cycle awareness. And it was so helpful because especially the week before my period, I was not the mom that I always aimed to be with the kids. I would just be like lower energy, less patient. And I remember at times being like, oh my gosh, I'm being not a consistent parent. Like I'm being so inconsistent. Like I try to be gentle and kind. And this one, you know, about a week before my period would come, things were just really off. But then there were other things throughout the month, of course, too, that I noticed. So now what I do is I don't track constantly, but I've kind of just grown my own self-awareness around the days when I'm going to have more in me to give and days I'm going to have less, which looking at each month, especially like the month of December, it's so helpful. Even if I can't plan, you know, like maybe we're gonna go do the Christmas parade, for example, on a day where I'm like, oh, I'm not gonna feel like doing that. Just having the awareness ahead of time that I can kind of mentally prepare that I might not really feel up to it, but I know that, and I kind of know why. I'm not kind of that morning being like, what's wrong with me? Why am I not in the holiday spirit? Why am I not in the mood? I'm just like, oh, I know I'm going to feel this way because this is how I felt around this day the last however many every month. So I find that that allows me to, yeah, just I think have more grace with myself. I talk about it with the kids, and I definitely mention it to my husband, and that's helpful too because then it just brings up all those conversations we've talked about before around like the importance of rest and then also like as the mom around Christmas, on the days where I have higher energy, that's when I might be, you know, pulling out a Christmas craft or saying, let's decorate cookies on those days. So that when the other days come around and the kids are like, let's do this, I don't feel as bad saying, sorry, I don't have that in me today because we've already done it, or I know we're gonna do it, you know, in the next week or something. So that's been really helpful. And then I think like the last thing I'll say about that is, aside from my cycle, just knowing my own, I don't limit boundary, like it's not quite the right word I'm looking for, but my example is I don't do Christmas dinner. So as far as, 'cause there is like, for me anyway, as the mom, there's this like, I don't know, hidden, invisible expectation that mom pulls together Christmas dinner. And I think I remember we were talking to Sue recently, and she was talking about not loving cooking. And I, when she was sharing about that, I was like, ooh, do I ever relate to that? And then the holidays come around, and it's the same for, yeah, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and my husband doesn't feel guilty that he's not stepping up and doing Christmas dinner. And I don't expect him to either. But I'm over here like, oh, I shouldn't feel guilty either just because I'm the mom. And, but there is something to that. So just taking the time to think, you know, do I want to take that on this year? Or can I still feel okay saying, nope, that's not something I'm willing to take on. So I think, I guess it's kind of is like a boundary. But I like thinking about like just taking that time, thinking ahead, what are the expectations? What is everybody going to want to do? Which I know we'll probably talk about that later too. But like, what are my own boundaries? What am I realistically okay to say yes to? And what am I going to feel okay saying no to? And just intentionally, trying the best to think ahead. I mean, obviously there's going to be some days where I'm like, oh, I actually have more energy than I thought. But yeah, so I think I'll stop there. Let one of you share.
Yeah. So I love all that, Ashley. And I think, you know, the part about talking to your kids, whether it's about your cycle, whether it's about, well, I guess you didn't say whether you talk to them about dinner or not, but just the idea that you are kind of sharing some of your limitations, some of what you feel your boundaries are around things. I think that helps so much because I think we often know very little about what's happening inside another person, even when we're living with them. We kind of we're on autopilot. We kind of get things done. And you're right. There can be these really big expectations around holidays, and it actually reminds me of. I mean, I know we're kind of talking about the holiday season coming up in December, but you know, I think a lot of the things that we think about can be relevant to other things too, right? Birthdays, Mother's Day, Father's Day, you know, all those kinds of things. And it reminded me of the last few years, just my thoughts around Mother's Day, because that can be kind of overwhelming in different ways with just different people, different things to do. As you said, typically women are kind of pulling together meals and doing things, but at the same time, it's Mother's Day, and it's like you're trying to act happy that you're like, I Mother's Day is possibly my least favorite of the year. And you know, it didn't used to be that way because I think we used to get together with we used to get together with a number of people, and it would be more of like a getting together, like a group celebration. I didn't feel this sense of the focus having to be just on me, or because I feel like there's a divide between honoring all the mothers and then this idea of like, it's your day, but it's really hard for it to be your day if you're, you know, trying to visit your mother-in-law or whatever. So I think the last few years we had a situation happen where, I don't know, it was just very, it was different. It wasn't a group of us getting together. It became very individualized about seeing this person and then seeing that person. And it really didn't, you know, it just kind of hit a point this year where I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to do this again. I wasn't preparing meals. I was just expected to be different places. And some of it was for me, but it's not something that I would have ever chosen. So it just got out of whack. So I think it's hard because it's not just the work, but it's also holding the expectations of everybody else. So all that to say, I just like that idea of just kind of gently and matter-of-factly talking about how things are working for you, either in your body, with your preferences, like things like cooking, or, you know, for you, it's cooking. For somebody else, it could be something entirely different. But yeah, I think just communicating about that is something that we maybe don't do that often. And I think that once we've stepped out of, like, once we've communicated about that and made a change, we realize that, like, sometimes we don't need to hold on to traditions, or sometimes we can and we don't need to try the new thing. I can remember talking to a friend of mine about Christmas, and she said, oh, we never do a tradition. She said, we've never grown up with a traditional family Christmas dinner. I think they rent a gym. There's quite a number of them. They rent a gym and they order pizza for everybody, and they play like sports all evening, and they do a gift exchange. And that to her is completely, that's what Christmas is, right? So we get attached to things needing to be a certain way, I think.
I love that.
the importance of rest. I think it's so important, isn't it? And doing that work on ourselves to not feel guilty when we're not constantly busy, and is such a valuable thing for us and for our children, isn't it? And I think I've spoken before about my older girls saying to me, you know, it's fine for you to read a book, Mum. You can just sit down on the sofa and read a book. And me kind of feeling a bit guilty about that. And I think it's come up because somebody said, what do you want to do on your birthday? And I'm like, I'd like to just sit on the sofa and read a book. And then they're like, you know, you could do that any day. And it's, you know, and that's such a, that's an awful message I'm sending my children, isn't it? That I, that I'm feeling guilty about sitting, because they say, you know, we don't feel guilty about doing that. So why do you feel guilty about that? And obviously that's my work to do, isn't it? And there's a lot of work that we have to do, as we talk about so often on this podcast, mm-hmm. our internal work. But you just reminded me when you were both talking about, I don't know if you've seen the show Modern Family, but there's an episode where they're going on a summer holiday, and the husband says something about, oh, you know, just relax. This is going to be great. It's going to be like a second honeymoon. And the mum says, I'm a mother on holiday with my three children. This isn't a holiday. It's a business trip. And and it's kind of like, I suppose that, you know, being honest with ourselves and thinking that whatever festival you celebrate, that is a particular time where there is going to be possibly more work, more expectations, maybe more pressure, maybe more more things that you're attending, more people coming around, whatever it is. If we can ahead of time recognize that, I guess, and try and do remind ourselves of all those bits about how we're not responsible for everyone else's fun, this is team effort, and we don't have to be the ones to do everything. Those pieces are so important, I think, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it reminds me too that sometimes we're holding Like as much as so just to go back to the Mother's Day thing for a minute, the last 2 or 3 years, I've actually had less technical work. Like I was, because we weren't getting together, we weren't doing a potluck, but it's the idea, I think, for holiday times, that you're holding the responsibility for the expectations of other people. See if I can explain this. Like, really, we, you know, so I took my mom out for a meal, but then I'm trying to get back because I know one of my kids would like to do something for me. It's all, you know, and so I'm trying to meet his expectation to make sure that he gives to me on Mother's, which I don't even, you know, it's not something, there's not a high expectation placed on that, but it's all these little things, isn't it? Like, or I knew that a couple of my kids had done something special for me, so then I felt badly being away. So it's not, I think it's not that anybody's intentions are terrible. It's just, I think a lot of these holidays come with multiple ways of looking at them. And so then if you don't have kind of a clear vision of like which way you're going with it, you find yourself kind of all over the place, which might segue actually into my first one, into the first. Yeah, so I didn't even mean to do that, but I think it actually kind of fits. One of the things that I have found really helpful is just expanding the time that I think about for holiday season. So I think it used to be the idea of like, we wouldn't decorate or put the tree up in, it wouldn't be too far into December, but it would be, you know, a little bit into December. And I think often there's an idea, I mean, I don't know, like even our local radio station, the day after Christmas Day, they stop playing the Christmas music. Like there's this very defined idea of when the holiday season is. And then there's like New Year's and there's customs around New Year's Eve and that sort of thing. And for me, I just thought, well, I don't need to adhere specifically to when the stores say the sales are on or when the radio station decides to do this or whatever. Because I really did find myself, I didn't notice it as much when the kids were little, but as they got older, I think my daughter was in a performance choir. So there were several things happening during the holiday season, not just performances, but like performances and then a party a few days later. And then there was a secret Santa gift to be purchased for the, like, it just felt like it was an ending. And I think because our family celebrates both religiously plus festively for the Christmas season, it can just become quite a situation because you've got so many things going on. And so I don't know, I like to think of it in terms of choice too, because even though things don't feel like a choice, technically they are. No one was forcing us to go to the Santa Claus parade. Nobody was forcing us to go to a church service. Like these were choices we were making, right? So when I kind of thought about it from a perspective of choice and I laid out all the things that I wanted to do, I didn't really want to give up very many of them. So I thought, well, the only way that I can really make that work is to kind of stretch out the season. And so what seems to work well for us now is we decorate earlier so we can just enjoy the lights. It works because it's kind of the time of year when it starts to be so dark with the time change and whatnot anyway. So we tend to kind of get lights, tree decorations up kind of like mid to third week of November. And then I just feel like we can enjoy that. And that's, I don't feel like we have to wait to put that stuff up. I'm like, we can just be enjoying that. And then I feel like we kind of stagger lots of other things throughout. And then what I started to do on the other end is kind of, and it's really just me who does it. Anybody else is welcome to in my family. But for me, I just started to recognize the 12 days of Christmas. So not in any sort of like, I have to do a certain thing on any particular day, but just the idea that there was this expanse of time and that could include anything. It could include playing Christmas carols on the piano because I was never really getting to that with all the different things leading up. Or it could just be like reading a book that I got for Christmas or watching a Christmas special that I didn't get a chance to see or just really enjoying New Year's in a different way. rather than just feeling the pressure of doing things. Because I think too, nobody likes to feel resentful. And I think in the work that I do, I end up with a lot of individual invitations ahead of time too. So a lot of the people I work with have like different festive parties and different. And so I was just like, oh my gosh, how do I fit this in? And so just expanding the time has really helped.
I think we did that in when we were in lockdown in the UK after Christmas. I remember, because it was such a dreary time. I mean, it is a dreary time in January when you're in this, you know, all the wintry weather and stuff. We did keep our decorations up for much longer. I mean, I think we went into February when one, you know, the year that we were in lockdown. And I remember that being so. And also I remember other, we didn't actually, we normally put our decorations up on the 1st of December, which lots of people think is quite early anyway. So we didn't actually go much earlier than that, I don't think, but lots of other people did. And it was so lovely. It brought such those, you know, the lights do bring such a sense of joy and hope, I think, don't they, seeing those lovely decorations. So I think the idea of expanding the season is just really nice, because you put a lot of effort in as well to putting those decorations up. So it's kind of nice to, yeah, to have them for that bit longer, I think. And it somehow became more acceptable, I think, during that time where we recognised the need for everybody needing a bit more light, I guess, light and joy in the season, didn't we?
Yeah, no, I can relate to this quite a bit too. And I think we were the same. We wouldn't put the tree up or decorate until definitely after December 1st. And I don't remember how many years it's been now, but I have to give credit to the kids, because it's the kids. I mean, we've had our tree up this year since early November, which I think that has to be the earliest we've put it up. And I noticed it, like I recognized that it was going up early, but one of the kids just said, and I don't know what sparked the idea, but can we put the tree up? Can we put, you know, pull out the decorations? And I was, yes, sure. Why not? Right. I mean, I guess it depends on what people enjoy, but I'm the same. Like it was getting darker and you add some twinkly lights and it can become, it just, I mean, we've talked on this podcast before about our environments and, you know, little things we can do. And it just makes it cozy. And I find that spreading it out, we won't be in a rush to take any of it down. I know last year we kept everything up for quite a while. And then I find the longer it's out too, once you do pack up all of that stuff, especially the tree, it's, you feel like, oh, it's so spacious now. And there's something I appreciate that change even more. Whereas before, I think we would have, you know, stuff out for probably 2 weeks. So I think, yeah, there's something to moving away from the shoulds and the shouldn'ts, and thinking about, like when the kids said, can we pull the decorations out near the beginning of November? I was like, yeah, if you guys want to, let's do it. So I think that's and it is nice, like you said, it is such a busy time, and you maybe don't want to say no to much. Maybe you want to say yes to a lot of these things, and if we give ourselves more time, we don't have to sacrifice the rest and the downtimes. We can still fit that in and just spread it out a bit more, because it's kind of like, well, what's the rush? Like, this is for a lot of people an enjoyable time of the season, so let's kind of make the most of it and stretch it out.
I'm gonna jump on the, I think, Erin, you said about things being choices, and I really liked what you said, Ashley, about the, you know, trying to not think about the shoulds and the should not things. And I'm going to give my first idea, which is having a joy list, which I think we've talked about on this podcast before. The idea is being intentional, I guess, choosing to focus on joy and thinking whenever you want to, as early as you want to. I mean, you know, you can have a joy list all year round, but for this episode, I guess I'm talking about festive joy lists and what you, yeah, what you want to do that is going to bring joy to your life during the festive season. And we have a joy list that we put up on the fridge, and we normally have a little chat around the table to start us off. And we have a few ideas on our joy list, and it can be, you know, simple things like the movies that somebody wants to watch, or maybe we might have a particular village nearby that's got really nice lights. So, you know, we're like, oh yeah, let's go there, or a woodland trail that's illuminated during the festive season or something like that. You know, and you know, any, it doesn't have to be specific festive ideas. It might just be, now I'm going to struggle to think of something that's not festive, but anything that brings you joy can go on there. But one of the other things that we do as part of our it goes on our joy list, and it's something that we've been doing for quite a few Christmases now, is we tend to have a family Christmas challenge. And for the last 3 years, it's been a photography challenge. So I think we did a sort of alphabet one. So we had a random generator on somebody's phone. And so there was a letter every day. So you were looking for a picture that related to that letter. And then last year we did numbers. So, you know, we did 1 to 25 basically, and anything goes, doesn't matter what's in your picture. And then this year we decided to do a color challenge. So we were just kind of sitting down chatting about it and thought, wouldn't it be cool if we had prompts that were things like, now I'm trying to remember what was, I meant to look up the list because we got a family WhatsApp, and we were going to, because it's not just our family of six, but actually my sister-in-law's moved into the same town as us. So she's now in our Christmas challenge as well, which is lovely. And it was my job to put a message on our family WhatsApp to explain the nature of this challenge this year. So I had a little list of all the prompts that we were going to use, and then we're going to randomly, you know, use another random generator. And I've forgotten to look at the list, so I can't think, but maybe I think one of them was something. No, it's terrible. It's completely gone out of my mind. But the prompts are not colours as such, but they are one or two word phrases that may remind you of a colour. So, you know, I don't think this is on, but it could be Christmas tree. And then you get to basically choose what you're going to photograph. But the point is, I guess, the point is about thinking ahead of time about what you would like to do during the festive season. And it doesn't mean you have to do everything that's on that list, but some of those things you might want to book on the calendar, because you know that I think one of you mentioned a Christmas parade, that's likely to be on a certain day, isn't it? Whereas other things like watching a movie, you know, we might be feeling, you know, suddenly realize that we're all in one evening, and then let's go and look on the joy list and think, oh yeah, you know, somebody wrote down they wanted to watch this movie. Let's all snuggle up and watch it. And I just think it's just a nice thing to, you know, even if you don't do all those things, to think about things that bring you joy, make you happy. So it's kind of a cool thing that we do each year.
Haley, I liked that you were saying, like, not everything on the list has to be specific to like a festive thing. It might just be something that you want to spend some time doing during that season. And I think that's kind of what I was thinking about with the 12 Days of Christmas. It doesn't have to be, it could just be reading a book, but it's just being intentional about taking that time to do it. Or, and as you said, it's not that you have to do it, but it's almost more like when you talk about joy lists, I kind of picture them more like a menu that you kind of been intentional about putting down some of the things that are important to you. And then you can kind of pull like from some of those options. Yeah. So I love that.
Yeah. I think this is similar to one that I had. So I might just, I mean, it's kind of, I even had joy lists as an example, but it was taking the time to ask each family member about their hopes and expectations for the holidays. And I just find like having a festive joy list And we do the joy list after we learned about them from you, Haley. We do them throughout the year, but typically around, like the season, like when there's lots of opportunities to kind of celebrate, you know, whether it's fall, like going to the pumpkin patch, and holidays is obviously, as we've talked about, there's lots of opportunities for different things. So I have found in our experience, so my two are 11 and 8, and it's, so for us, it hasn't been a sit down as a family one time and accomplish it. I hope that that's what happens as they get a bit older. But for what works for us now, and it just takes a bit more time, so that's fine. And I start, well, I was going to say I start early, but I feel like I did start early this year, because I find I have to sit down and have, not necessarily sit down. I mean, sometimes, lots of times these talks happen when we're driving somewhere, but I'll just intentionally make sure I start checking in with everyone, including my husband, and just directly ask, like, what do you hope we do? And I asked my youngest today, like, let's sit down and what's your joy list for this Christmas? And what do you want to do for Christmas? And he right away was like, well, I want to open presents Christmas Day. So I think that just speaks to his age. And he thinks Christmas and Christmas Day and presents, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But it allowed me to remind him that there's the parade, there's this, right? Like, I'm talking about the holidays. Like, let's talk about the month of December and really think about, what are you wanting to do this year? Because we can't do everything every year. So what is interesting to you this year? What are you most excited about? And I can't think of an example, but I know in the past I don't even know if it was a birthday or a Christmas, but I know at different times the kids have said, like, they've shared their disappointment around us not doing something. So I find that this can just be helpful instead of me assuming that I know exactly what their hopes and expectations are for Christmas. They have a chance to think about it ahead of time. And also so I can, you know, mark it down on the calendar if it's something that will come and pass and we might not get to it. And I also, the other thing I wanted to quickly say about that was for us, I just find too, it helps shift the focus away a little bit from the gifts, because it's easy for the kids to just, especially maybe when they're younger, get excited and just think, I mean, I'm asking them, right? What do you want for Christmas? I'm putting that idea in their head because I want to know what to get for them. And other family members are asking too, and they're young and they're excited. So they think a lot about the gifts, which is fine, but it just allows us to have conversations about other things. You know, if we want to put together specific donations or something, for an example, right? That's just kind of nice to do around the holidays. So I just wanted to put that in there. And I just want to add that, Haley, I've jotted down your family challenge thing because I really, really love that. And I just think that's such a nice way to have something, like, it's not something you had to do, but it's a nice thing for just your family members to come together on, like, a regular basis throughout the holidays to, like, do something just fun, like, just for joy. It's just, I don't know. Yeah, I think we're gonna have to incorporate that.
In the past, we've actually done physical things more. So we had things like, we had a table tennis competition one year. So that kind of went on for a while, where we had we set up a kind of gosh, my words are not coming out very well tonight. But again, it was we used a random generator, I think, to match up. Everybody played everybody, and then at the end, you know, we went down into semi-finals and finals or whatever, and somebody won. And then we did a darts competition one year as well. And it just so happens that the last few years have been this photography challenge. But what also happens is that everybody gets to, so you don't have to submit a photograph every day. And often, especially me, there'll be quite a few days that I haven't necessarily done it. But every day we will also give a thumbs up to choose the photograph that you like the best. And then, you know, one of the girls normally will take charge of adding up the thumbs up and deciding who's had the most favourite photographs, if you like, over the thing. But it just means that we're all... it's kind of nice because we're thinking about it during the day. And I think also we're kind of thinking about each other because we're, you know, we get to look at each other's photographs, and then you see what, you know, somebody's been out on a walk and they've taken a photograph a particular place or some decorations or something that they've seen. So it kind of keeps you thinking about each other. That's kind of, we're kind of like connected. I think that's a really nice piece of it. Yeah. So there's all kind of, I mean, there must be so many ways, so many challenges that you could do, couldn't you?
I like how so much of this, it's like, if you think about the joy lists or the challenges, or Ashley, you're, you know, having conversation with your kids, like, what, you know, what do you want December to look like? Or what do you want the holiday season to look like? Just including them so that they're helping plan those things, because I think that's the other thing that can happen, isn't it? We have an idea in our head of like certain traditions that we've always done. And then of course kids change. Different ages bring about different you know, maybe they're comfortable doing things they didn't used to be, or maybe something's gotten kind of old for them. Or I know as kids get older and maybe get into things like jobs, part-time jobs and stuff like that, they actually have schedules that you're kind of working around. So, yeah, just kind of really keeping everybody in mind so that we're not doing this top down. These are all the plans we have. And then we hear that they want to do certain things and it's like, ah, how do we kind of fit that in? If it's a group effort from the beginning, I just think it makes that so much easier. And just about the gifts, I just wanted to tap in about the gift piece for a minute. I don't know if either of you have this happen, but I find a very common question this time of year, not quite yet. We're recording right now the last couple of days in November, but probably within the next week or two, you start hearing people say, so are you all ready for Christmas? Which I think usually means, have you got all your shopping done? Have you got any ingredients purchased that you're, you know, needing for baking or cooking or whatever? And I think that I try to just kind of have a light response to that, because what I find happens for me, if I plan too far ahead, first of all, my tendency is if I purchase or get things ready really early and put them aside, I'm very likely, despite my best efforts, to somehow forget either where I've put them or what I've gotten or whatever. So I feel like there's this value placed on like early preparation. And part of me would like to do that because then I think, well, you kind of have, you compartmentalize it a little bit, right? So you've got this piece done and now we can just, you know, play darts and do those kinds of things. But I do think that the problem is too, is that especially with kids and young people, as much as we don't want to focus entirely on gifts, to a degree, sometimes it is really nice to be thoughtful about gifts. And so if I'm just working on efficiency and then something comes up the 2 or 3 weeks before Christmas that they would really like, or they really need, or they see advertised, it just feels like, I don't know. I just like to leave a little bit of space. And so not just be my whole focus on getting it done, but just, but that is a little bit more of a stressful way to do it because you're never quite finished. You're sort of keeping open to things. So I don't know if either of you can relate to that, but I don't know. I just find I like to be a little bit more kind of flexible to them maybe noticing or thinking of something a couple of weeks ahead of time, because I think it's also a lot of pressure to say to somebody like in the middle of November, what do you want for Christmas? And usually my kids are like, you know, it's hard to, it feels like pressure, I think, to list all the things, because it's like your chance to get what, you know, somebody's buying for you.
It's tricky, isn't it? If you've got a small child who's really into the Octonauts or something like that, and then suddenly they, you know, they change direction and they've suddenly got this new passion or interest, and you've kind of got all your Octonauts themed. Obviously, one of my children was very much into the Octonauts at one point. But that is something to bear in mind, definitely, isn't it?
I remember having a friend quite a while ago, but I guess my kids were really little at the time, and she told me, or she shared with me, that she always finishes her Christmas shopping in the summertime, by the end of summer. And I was blown away by that because I just thought, how? How do you know what they want? I mean, we didn't have, like, now I'd have so many questions for her. And maybe she doesn't do that anymore. Her girls are obviously a lot older now, but I'm the same. I find, yeah, I mean, I guess you're right. It can be a bit stressful, but I think usually I don't find it too bad. As long as I don't leave it too last minute, I guess. And maybe it is because we live a little bit of a slower pace lifestyle that, you know, going out a few days before Christmas, even though it's really busy and whatnot, doesn't seem like a big deal most of the time. I mean, not to say, I mean, maybe that could happen. I should knock on wood. That's probably how I'll feel this Christmas now that I've said that. But yeah, I don't like, I don't know. We talk about their Christmas list for quite a while, I would say here, and there's opportunity for them to add things as we go, which I think just kind of adds to, because I don't, I'd rather, yeah, I'd rather get them something that they really want instead of something that, you know, maybe they wanted back in the summer, and they're over it now. What's the point? So yeah, we're the same here.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, maybe stressful isn't quite the right word, but it feels like it would be more efficient to do what your friend did. Just get
Yeah.
everything done, you know, get everything done, but it just doesn't feel like that would work very well with the people in my life. Just, yeah, I don't know. So it's interesting just to think about the different sort of systems that we set up for doing and how they might change over time too.
Yeah. I
Yeah.
do wonder if I should. Is now an okay time to talk about one? Because it kind of goes, it attaches to the whole gift thing, although it's not just about gifts. I don't think I have a lot to share about this, but another thing that I do, and actually I probably have shared something along the same lines here before, but it's something we always do around Christmas time now, and we have for years, is talking about the potential feeling of being disappointed around the holidays. So thinking about gifts, that's an obvious one where, I mean, we see that come up a lot. People write about that and the expectations placed on young children who open up a gift and it's not what they wanted. Like for my kids, it would be, my nieces love it when I give them, like my youngest niece loves it if I get her like a brand new dress. She's just thrilled with that. But if my kids get, especially my oldest, gets any clothing, like that's not acceptable. That is not a gift. That's a practical, which is, you know, that's fair. That's fair. That's just the differences in personalities or whatever. But I think like just talking ahead of time, I found it helpful, that, and I'm trying to think about how I start the conversation with the kids. But it can be about anything, like the expectations, because we have this idea in our head as to what Christmas Day is going to look like and what the Christmas parade is going to look like and what the Christmas party is going to look like, what the whole holiday season is going to feel like, or even the disappointment that, I think disappointment would be the right word, but like that feeling when the holiday season comes to an end, and feeling like, oh, it's all over. I looked forward to it so much and there was so much excitement and now it's done and oh, I don't feel great about that. So I just find that has been a bit of a game changer for us because I didn't do that. Like we've done it definitely for the past good few years now, but I found it made quite a difference. And it was just a matter of bringing it up with the kids, you know, before their birthday or before Christmas. Those are the big ones. And just kind of sometimes briefly saying, huh, I wonder how we're going to feel if we open up a present from whoever, and it's not what we expected, or maybe it's not even something that we like. I wonder what that's going to feel like. And sometimes it's a little bit of a longer conversation. Other times it's just mentioning it, and the kids don't even say anything, but they've heard it. And it's not to, like, I would, like, my intent isn't to avoid them ever feeling disappointed, but I just find it can be helpful to, yeah, just think about it before. I don't know if it maybe helps them, like mentally, like what I would say, like mentally prepare, because I think around the holidays, you know, maybe it's not gifts, maybe it's something else that they're just feeling disappointed, and then those sometimes that can feel like a really big feeling, and then that's a lot to deal with, and just kind of touching on it beforehand, bringing it up beforehand for us, that's been pretty helpful.
It makes me think too, Ashley, about like gifts, but even just the lead up and the adrenaline around, you know, maybe seeing people, having a family dinner, having events, even just the, like just the beauty of having the holiday lights out and about, and then things kind of finishing. And you do, you know, you hear adults talk about that too, kind of getting into January and just if things feeling like kind of a slump after the lead up of the holidays. So I like that idea of talking about it. And I think, you know, I think I'm trying to think, was it last year we planned a couple of things, like some, I think it was like a board game day with extended family, excuse me. Just some things like that, so that it's like a bit of a gentle, descent from the hype of all the things. And it's not that that's happening, you know, just a few days later, but just planning a couple of things on into January and even into February a little bit. I don't know, it's just nice to have a few things to look forward to. So that's not so much about the gift piece, but just about, you know, how do we feel after all these things and the lead up to the season? Because I think even if we don't have a super busy holiday season, you're hearing it all the time, right? Like it's, if you're in a shop, if you're listening to the radio, if people are on the street asking you, or, you know, are you ready? And it can just feel like a lot. So even just having a couple of little anchor points that feel like something, I don't know, it's almost like you can celebrate then being more relaxed. Like that's what we did last time. We had like a board games afternoon, but it was intentionally very, it was no big tournament or anything like that. Like we literally picked some favorite games and went over to family's place and had, you know, just some food, and it was very intentionally relaxing. So you can almost celebrate like the downtime. Cause I think but then we can get stuck in the downtime. You know, that feeling of like there's presents to be put away, there's all these leftovers. And for the first day or two, that feels kind of nice to just read the new book, wear the new sweater, eat the leftovers. But then there's this period of time where you're not back to normal routine, but you're no longer celebrating. And for some personalities, that can be really, excuse me, I'm struggling with my voice here today, but for some personalities, that can be really hard, that in between transitional time. I think
it's really nice to have things to look forward to, isn't it? So if we can you know, it's not just about thinking about the season that's coming up, but also giving a little bit of thought to what's coming afterwards, so that you can have things to look forward to, is really nice. But I was also thinking about something you said, Erin, about having those discussions with our children, and I wanted to expand on that a little bit and think about how we can set our children up for success around things like visiting relatives and giving them a bit of a heads up about, you know, how different households maybe might like to do things. So letting them know, you know, if there is an expectation that they should stay at the dinner table until after pudding and then ask to leave the table. You know, if we can give our children bits of information so that they know, you know, what different people might expect from them, that can really help them to to kind of understand ahead of time and be respectful of the people's houses that they're going into, and you know, remind them of things, you know, because we might notice things one year and think, oh, next year I'm going to tell them about that beforehand, because that'll really help to head off any kind of conflict that might appear. Or, you know, if you can sense that perhaps the host was disappointed about something that happened, then, you know, it's nice if we can try and prevent that from happening the next year, perhaps.
Yes.
So I think the more we can do to set those things up for, set our children up for success, because they won't be deliberately trying to upset the host or make the day go badly, but they may, you know, the rules or the kind of rhythms that we have at home and the expectations might be different to when we go to grandma's or when we go to another family member. So I think it's really helpful if we can help our children to get a picture. Perhaps we can't know exactly what's going to happen, but we might have some ideas that might help them to know what's expected of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm thinking of the flip of that too. So I have a close relative. I've watched her do this the last few years with her child, where it's like preparing other people a little bit for what's going to work for her child too, and saying, you know, we've talked about this, so it might be like in between the dinner itself and dessert, you know, that maybe the child's going to go and have, you know, just some time on their iPad or just relax or whatever, just so that that expectation is already there, that, you know, this is what we've, this, you know, this is what we've talked about, just to let you know. And of course that requires maybe a certain kind of relationship with the host, but I think it's helpful, right? If it needs to happen anyway, then maybe by sort of putting it out there to begin with, it just helps with the expectation. And it can be very light, you know, just saying, you know, we've talked about this and this, you know, this is what, you know, they're going to do at this point. Or if a child needs maybe a quiet space at some point, just working that out with the host ahead of time. And again, that's really helpful if the host is somebody that you can talk to easily about those things, but sometimes it doesn't hurt to do it anyway.
Yeah, I love what both of you have said. And actually, that was one of the things that I jotted down as one of the things I think about ahead of time, is when we do say yes, really like actually sitting down and thinking through kind of how can we make the most of this thing that we have said yes to. So we've decided, yes, we are good. Because that's another thing. We don't have, well, I'll just speak for myself. There's certain things that we would say no to because it just overall would not work for us. That's not all, that's easier said than done sometimes. But when we do say yes, like I can use the example of going to my in-laws' house. I think this year we're going Christmas Eve, but we usually go, you know, Christmas Eve or Christmas Day or Boxing Day. I'm really thinking about, and I have to do this each year because the kids change. Like I think you mentioned earlier, Erin, like things change as the kids get older. And my youngest actually, so this kind of ties into the last thing we're talking about and this thing. My youngest this year, when we're talking about going to my, like, so grandma and papa's house, he was just so excited. And he does this, like when we have something coming up, like he just, oh, this is going to be the best thing ever. And it's really cute and it's really fun. But we've learned that usually he has this like grand idea of what this experience is going to be like. And then the actual experience usually doesn't live up to that. So we've kind of worked with that around, you know, like what we're talking about as far as like that feeling of disappointment and whatnot. But this year when we talked about it, yeah, he was really excited going to grandma and papa's. And then I think, I mean, he's 8 now, so he's still young, but I think just his personality and the type of kid he is, he kind of started to think about like what that will actually look like and what that will feel like what will we actually do when we're there and stuff. And I think he kind of, he didn't say this, but I think he was like realizing that maybe it actually won't be as much fun as he originally thought, which is good. I mean, he, but then it turned into, I don't know if I really want to go. Do we have to go? So we talked about that and we started thinking about how do we make the most of this, because we do want to go see them for the holidays and they want to see us. But maybe we need to be a little bit more intentional and not just show up and hope for the best. Like, and I think one thing we came up with was because I gave him time to share about what his concerns were and why he was, you know, starting to question if it was a good idea to go or not. And I said, well, what if you and grandma decorate Christmas cookies? Would that be enjoyable? Oh yeah, that would be great. I said, well, let's plan for that then. Whereas when they were younger, for the most part, we were able to just kind of show up and they would play and it was fine. But as they get older, I find we have to kind of think like, you know, they're not, my two are not going to want to sit around listening to everybody chat and visit. They're going to want to maybe go out tobogganing if there's snow. That's very helpful when that happens, or at least go out for a walk and look at Christmas lights. Or I know the one year my mother-in-law had new games, like they weren't board games, but new games that we could kind of come around the table and play with. But so it doesn't have to be anything elaborate, but just kind of think ahead. And Erin, I think you've talked in a different episode kind of about that. But I also wanted to mention around this, I had the example. I don't know why I keep thinking about the Christmas parade. We don't always actually go to our Christmas parade. We go some years and some years we don't, but we are going this year. And same thing was, I'm probably not going to just get ready that day and show up at the parade and think it's all going to be fine. So I'm thinking about how can we make the most of this, and what is this actually going to be like for me, and what is it going to be like for each kid and dad if he comes too. And I'm thinking about the weather, the sensory experience, the standing and waiting for the parade. What if one kid decides they're done before the other kid wants to leave? Are we meeting with friends? Right? Like all the things that, I mean, as I say that, I realize it can kind of sound overwhelming, I guess, or, but I find that we don't have to do this for everything, but depending on your kids, like for my kids, it will be helpful if I just take some time to talk about it with them. So we're kind of on the same page, maybe agreeing ahead of time that if, what do we do if one of them is so done and they need to get out of there, sensory overwhelm or whatever it is, it's way too cold for them and they need to go. Can we agree that we'll leave early, or can we not? Or, do we have two parents so that one can take the other one somewhere warm while the parade finishes, right? And I just find that it goes back to what we were saying, I guess, like just considering each person's experience. And I find that because I've done this often enough now, like it doesn't take too much effort or time to think ahead to those things. But I liked what both of you said, because Haley, you're saying like set the kids up for success, and I think that that's what this does. And Erin, I've done what you've said too, where, and I think it's the same, setting the kids up for success, but talking to the host, if it's at the dinner or the gathering ahead of time, and we've had to do that before. And just saying, like, this is what's going to work best for us. Like, is that okay for you? If we come late, if we leave early, if the kids come in their pajamas, if they don't eat what you're serving, all right, is that okay? And I just find doing that ahead of time instead of like maybe dealing with it in the moment, actually kind of sets everybody up for a better chance, or for things to go more smoothly. So
Another thing that makes me think about is I think you mentioned in there, Ashley, something about people sitting around catching up. And I was thinking about the conversations, and specifically related to home education, I suppose. Often relatives will want to talk about school, and they'll want, because they just want to connect with a child. They may ask questions like, what grade are you in, and things like that. And that, sometimes our children don't always know the answer to these questions. And so sometimes I think it can be really helpful to think about the kinds of things that you think your children and maybe the people that are going to be at an event might have in common. And kind of sometimes you can, talk to your children ahead of time about how, Auntie so and so maybe like sewing, and they've got a sewing project on the go. Maybe that's something you could talk about, or an event that you've been to recently that you can share with family members, and that your child will be enthusiastic about, to share what went on, and just to give them sometimes some ideas for how, because it's hard, because a lot of the time adults do try and connect with children about school subjects, kind of what's your favorite subject. I mean, we've talked about this so many times on the podcast, haven't we? But I think particularly at events that maybe lots of people sitting, lots of family members sitting round, it can feel quite stressful sometimes if you if there's not something that if you can't find a point of connection, I guess, that sometimes it's nice to think about those things ahead of time. Does that make sense? Have I explained that very well? I'm not sure.
No, I think so. I've been thinking about that. Even aside from the school things, just certain topics that historically haven't gone very well in group in group gatherings, and just kind of trying to decide whether to kind of head that off a little bit ahead of time and just say, maybe we could just maybe this isn't something we'll talk about when we get together, right? Like I think not that you want to be what sort of thinking of like legislating what people talk about, but maybe just a suggestion that this particular topic. I'm finding that a lot now that my kids are older, so they're developing their, you know, developing their own thoughts about things. And then if you have older adults with really fixed, strong, I think I alluded to something that happened in one of our last conversations, where I just found that, you know, the dynamics change as kids get older. And so I think when kids are little and you're at a group setting, adults feel like they can kind of make really specific comments, whether they're political or just anything really. And, you know, the kids are just kind of there. But as kids get older, it the dynamic really changes. And your kids maybe tend to be in on those conversations a little bit more. So I think I'm in a new phase now where I'm trying to think about what does that look like for older kids as well. I'm not sure if I'm making any sense, but the conversation dynamic really changes. And then sometimes older generations don't know, including myself at times, forget that. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh wait, we need to structure this differently. This isn't the same dynamic as it was 10 years ago. Anyway, I'm not sure if any of that made sense, but just, I think if your goal is to really enjoy the time together and just be relaxed, sometimes it doesn't hurt to just be honest about, you know, if there's a topic or two that just doesn't feel like it's going to lead in that direction.
Yeah, and I mean sometimes it can be as simple as somebody could ask you a question and maybe you can say things like, oh, that, you know, that's a big topic, maybe that's for another day, let's chat about that another time. And you know, it's not that you are not prepared to talk to them about it, but maybe you just know that when there's everybody's in the room, it's maybe not the right time to talk about it. And I think that the thing about people asking questions, obviously just in general conversation, asking questions is a lovely thing. People are interested. They want to know about other people, and that's great. But I've really noticed that, you know, sometimes some people are really good at continuing conversations without actually answering the question that's been asked. And I think that I'm not very good at that necessarily. I think it's a kind of skill that you learn. But I think there's some saying about how you don't have to walk through every door that is open for you, or somebody opens the door, you don't have to walk through it. So if somebody asks a question and you think that you know, if you answer that question truthfully, it's going to lead to some kind of debate that you don't really want to have on this particular day, I think it's okay to not answer people's questions. You know, you don't have to be rude. You can just find some other way of dodging it. And sometimes in the past, I know that with little children, it's often, you know, you can often hear somebody shouting and think, oh, they're calling me, I'll just, yeah, you know, I'm sorry, I'm gonna have to just go and see what the kids are up to. And you know, in not in a rude way, but it just might be a coincidentally quite a convenient position to leave that conversation. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's something to be aware of, isn't it, that you don't have to answer every question that people throw at you.
Mm-hmm. I remember, and I've tried to go back and look for it and I can't find it, but Julie Bogart had put something on Instagram a couple of years ago. I'm going to get it right or wrong, sorry, so this isn't a direct quote, but what I checked from it was the idea of like privacy and honesty. So just because a child or anybody really isn't answering a question directly or honestly, or maybe what you would consider honestly, it's not really lying. It's respecting their own right to privacy, right? We don't have a right to an answer to every single thing that we ask. And I mean, it was much better articulated than that, but that really kind of stuck with me. And I think, Haley, when you're talking about how at sort of group settings or holiday gatherings, there tend to be, you know, with kids, there tend to be these questions about school and that tends to be pretty common. I find with older kids, it's like jobs and you know, jobs and relationships and higher level courses. It's like, what are your life plans? How's that working? Do you like that job? Do you like that course? And it can feel almost stronger, because as a kid, you know, you might get asked that, but you're in the middle of playing something and it's not, it might kind of roll off you a little bit. But as kids get older, it can be very, like, they're actually sitting there with the adults and now the focus is on, well, how's that job going? Well, how's that university course going? Well, you know, it, I think it's a sensitive time of life to begin with. And then, you know, there you are with kind of all this, all these questions, you know, good naturedly maybe, but it can be a lot. So I think there's room for us to be intentional when we're kind of thinking about how it's going to go for, like, for people of all ages.
Yeah, it makes me think of, like, I wrote down social strategies and social modeling. Oh, I like that. Because I think that's what, I mean, we use the word strategy a lot around here these days. And I think it's just a good, or like, helpful, strategy for when going into any kind of social situation. And it's nice and helpful to be kind of explicitly taught that. I mean, we might model it for our kids and they might kind of naturally pick up on it themselves, but I think it's great. And I know we've done it. I do it for myself. And when I don't take the time to kind of, you know, practice different responses or even just think through what questions might come up or something, in the moment, I'm regretting not taking the time to do that, because for me, rarely in the moment do I say what I want to say, you know, when you're kind of put on the spot or something. So I think, yeah, talking to the kids ahead of time is just, that's going to be so useful for them, not just in, you know, that at that Christmas or holiday gathering, but in any type of situation like that. There are different ways you can respond to questions or just to things that people are saying, and practicing that can be really helpful. It does remind me, I listened to it's Kelly Edwards' podcast, Kelly from the 90 Minute School Day. She had Liana on speaking. I caught that episode and they were talking about, what Liana said was so helpful. But just kind of being put in that situation often around holiday time where family members or friends, you know, sometimes, Liana actually got into that, you know, who is this person asking the question and what is their intent behind the question? And if it's someone who, you know, genuinely cares about your family and your child. And if you said, yes, actually, I'm concerned about this too, for example, would that person then offer some help? Or is this kind of more so like some, and I'm making this part up, like, but distant relative or, you know, a cousin that you see once a year, who's not, you know, they're just making small talk almost, I guess, right? You choose in those moments, you know, am I going to get into this, or am I going to, you know, brush it off and just choose not to get into it. So that was a really good conversation to listen to, because I think a lot of us kind of end up in those situations around this time of year, and our kids too. Mine are younger, so they get it a little bit. I'm not to the point where I can only imagine as they get older, how that will just become at times more challenging, but.
Mm-hmm. I think it's harder to know our role a little bit as they get older, because when they're younger, as I said, you can kind of see whether they've even heard the question, are they busy playing, and it's more maybe accepted or natural when your kids are young to intervene a little bit or redirect. But as kids get older, it's like, do they want me to redirect? Yeah. Do they? And, you know, I've even had that with, you know, if my kids are in a relationship with somebody, and so you have like a significant other there, and I'm like, I feel like I need to kind of protect them a little bit from, you know, all these lines of questions, but you also don't want to be that person who's like, because my tendency, I admittedly, is to do this, managing the social dynamics, right, in the room to keep everybody comfortable. I'm like, okay, I probably just need to back off a bit. But it's really hard when kids get a bit older, because it's
yeah, well, it's not at a certain age, right? It would be different for each child and probably not linear, right? Like I would imagine for each individual person, in some moments they're like, come on, mom, step in here, help me out. But then the next week they're like, no, I got this. So I can imagine how you're constantly trying to assess the situation. And I guess just having conversations maybe outside of it can be helpful. But yeah,
Yeah.
I am grateful that I'm not quite there yet.
I think oh, sorry, go ahead, Haley.
Well, I was just going to say on a more sort of related to that, but also generally, I was thinking about the idea of self-fulfilling prophecy, and I suppose I'm thinking about a few different things, really. But one of the things is about the more we worry about some of these things, sometimes, most people have got positive intent, haven't they? And if we can assume the best and give people the benefit of the doubt, most people aren't. They aren't trying to make other people feel uncomfortable. It might be just that they haven't thought about what they haven't necessarily thought about what the impact might be of that question on somebody else. So I suppose I was thinking about in ahead of time. Sometimes it can help to think about what are we worried about and why are we worried about it, and try to, I don't want to go too far away from what you might have wanted to say, Erin.
Oh,
But I
no,
guess I'm,
it's fine. Go ahead.
well, I'm thinking there's two things. There's one about how we respond, I suppose, to the questions that people ask. Can kind of people want to help often, and if we sometimes seem a bit hesitant or unsure, then sometimes that makes other people worried. Whereas if we're just quite confident about what we say, it won't necessarily matter so much what we say. It's more that people just want to know that everything's going okay, I guess, sometimes. And it makes me think of like with younger children, sometimes if they're having a kind of emotional moment, people, often grandparents or aunties and uncles or whatever, they really want to help, don't they? They kind of want to help you, the parent, and they want to step in. And sometimes you know that that is. Sometimes it's not necessarily going to help, whatever their, good intention is and how well-meaning they are. And so sometimes if we can, even though inside we're kind of thinking, oh no, not now, if we can hold that kind of confident space of, it's okay, don't worry, we've got this kind of with our body language and perhaps with what we say, then that can be really helpful for those other people can then sort of relax and think, oh, I don't need to. I mean, some people will still try and help you. But I don't know, there's something around that, I think, that can be just helpful to, to be aware of, that people maybe are trying to help. And if you, even if you don't feel really confident inside, sometimes if you can try and muster up that sense of confidence, then you can ward off some of this. Does that make sense?
No, that makes a lot of sense, Haley. I think that I think that's really worth I think that's really true. People really do pick up on sort of the amount of energy that we give something. So if we've kind of found a way to just keep calm and carry on, as they say, or maybe take some time, maybe a child needs to come out of a like just kind of move to the side for a little bit or depending on the situation. But no, I like that. That does make a lot of sense to me. And the thing that it brings up for me too is I think I have found that really effective at times. And at the same time, I think being aware that that in and of itself takes a certain amount of emotional labor and effort. So I find like let's say we've been at like a I'm thinking of times we've gone to like work Christmas parties with kids, like kind of big events, and there's multiple people and there's other kids and there's lots of social interactions and it can be fun, but a lot. And so you're kind of doing just as you said, you're moving through, whether it's questions, whether it's how the children are playing together, whatever. And it's effective, but I think we also just need to acknowledge to ourselves that our adrenaline is probably up a little higher for that period of time. And I think that's one of the other reasons that this idea for me of like expanding the season for myself helps a little bit, because then I'm not feeling resentful if I find a Christmas party or a Christmas get together or a New Year, whatever it is, instead of feeling like, oh, this was my holiday time and I'm just exhausted from it. And it's like I'm giving myself time on the end of it to be able to do some things that work really well for me. So I'm not putting the idea of getting my own needs met for the particular holiday all in the basket of this party or this one day. Now I've kind of gone off, but that's what it made me think of.
No, I think you're right. And I think it does go back to the beginning of what we were talking about as well, when we talk about the importance of rest. And I think, like you say, it is a lot of emotional energy. And there are things that we can do ahead of time that can help us sometimes, you know, the mindset work that we can do. You know, maybe for you, it would be good to meditate before you go to a family event, you know, or go for a walk, or go recognizing that you are going to need that bit more emotional energy. Maybe there are things that you could put in place to help you feel calmer. I know I used to do, I used to write on my hand sometimes, or sometimes it would be a little symbol so that other people didn't necessarily know what it meant. But I would sometimes have a little, when they were smaller, definitely I'd have a little mantra about how I was going to be the kindest person I could be, or maybe I was going to pretend, you know, I think I've written about it in a blog post before about pretending that I'm in some kind of documentary about kindness. And then I'd have a little thing on my hand that would remind me that, you know, and I wouldn't always do it. I wouldn't always be able to be calm and patient, but at least I would have some kind of reminder. So there's the piece that you can do before, but then there's also the piece afterwards, that acknowledging that it did take a lot out of you, and being kinder to ourselves and thinking, well, maybe, you know, we won't cram all these events close together. Like you said, Erin, we'll have time in between, and we will intentionally take that time to refill ourselves and acknowledge that what we've done was quite a lot. You know, we looked after lots of little people in a very busy family event. Now we're going to not feel guilty about having that time the next day to relax, because that, you know, we want to be our best self as much as we possibly can, and we can't do that unless we give ourselves time to rest and relax and rejuvenate and not feel bad about it. So there's, which all relates again, I think, to a bit of self-fulfilling prophecy, that the more we can assume the best before things happen. And what was I going to say? I was going to say something around, Oh, I know. I was thinking as well. I know a thing that I noticed a lot when the children were younger was that if somebody else made a comment about home education, I might feel the need to defend it. And sometimes it's okay to just let people make their comments, and then it's about them. Whereas if then you start getting defensive and getting a bit huffy and trying to, you know, maybe you're feeling that adrenaline and you can't get your words out very well, like me now on this podcast, but maybe you can't get your words out very well and you end up, I don't know, saying something that's, you know, you might even be rude or whatever, and then it becomes about you. Whereas if you were able to kind of just breathe, walk away, remember that it is not a reflection of what you're doing with your children. It's not a reflection of home education or whatever. It is a reflection of their emotional landscape or whatever's happening in their life or what, you know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. And it's what's coming to mind is this, I think we can often feel like we need in those moments to prove something, that we need to, yeah, what you said, defend what we're doing. And that often just doesn't lead down a very positive path. So I think just going into these moments, reminding ourselves that we don't have to, we can choose to let people have their comment. Our job is not to convince anyone that, you know, that that home education is the right choice for our family. We can just be confident that if they don't believe that, then we don't need to solve that issue in that moment. I'm also thinking about like the non-home ed stuff and just the like I'm thinking about the kids who have a really tough time at the family gathering. Like there's a lot going on. So of course, like I mean, for a lot of families, it would just be realistic expectations to kind of go in saying, I think my kid, you know, they very well might have a tantrum, or they, you know, they didn't sleep great the night before. They're not going to eat great while we're there. Like thinking ahead that our kid might struggle, and that's hard for us when they struggle in front of family members and friends. And just being confident in that we can handle it and not have to prove that, you know, not have to prove that our child is perfect or that we don't need to argue or explain that I don't like using the word tantrum right now, but that now I can't get my words out. But I just know in the moment sometimes we can feel like we have to explain why our child is acting this way, like why they're having a difficult moment. And with all that adrenaline and stuff, we're not going to be able to effectively do that. So to just remind ourselves that it's okay, that we can go into these events. It doesn't have to be perfect. Our child can have a hard time. We will manage it. We know that it's okay if they have a hard time. Or if we get in a sticky situation where we all of a sudden have to feel like we need to, you know, someone makes that comment about homeschooling and we're like, ah, oh, but we can just let it slide. I think just having those reminders beforehand, I have found anyway, yeah, that's really helpful. I feel like I got off track there, but
No,
yeah.
I don't
Okay.
think you do. I think it's good. And I think one thing I'd want to say, I guess, as well, is that we're talking about being intentional and trying to do what we can to make things go well, because we all want to have fun and have a nice time with the people that we love. But there are going to be people who are tired or people who are upset or things are going to happen. And I think it's important as well for us to kind of reframe that of thinking that those are actually can be opportunities for us to even more deeply connect with people that we love. And there are all sorts of opportunities. There are opportunities to model kind of repair for our children about if there is an issue or a conflict or whatever that comes up. And we can, yeah, it doesn't, it's not a personal failing if things go wrong. I think that's another thing, isn't it? That we don't have to take it as that we've done something wrong just because something's happened. We can see those things as yeah, opportunities rather than catastrophes, I guess.
I have two or three more, but I think I can a couple of them I can probably kind of put a little bit together. So I guess just to move away from the gathering thing and just kind of like the festive preparation thing, I just wanted to mention the idea of sort of I don't know if fear of missing out is quite the right term, but it might be. It's just the idea that if we're looking around at what other people are doing, if we're on social media at all, and you see all these really cool things that families are doing, right? All the different Advent things, just all the different activities, the different crafts. And I think because if our kids were in school, you know, there's often a holiday focus in school in different ways and they're doing fun things. And so I think we can maybe feel like it's a lot of responsibility to really make the most of certain periods of time and just, you know. And so something that I have found helpful is just creating more of an atmosphere that kind of holds regardless of what, you know. Ashley, you started the conversation talking about like fluctuating energy, you know, depending on your cycle, depending on what's going on. And so I find, again, kind of back to that decorating kind of early on, we will often have just kind of rotate through different holiday music playing, different genres, different artists, kind of that sort of thing. And I find that just by having that ambiance, so to speak, there is less pressure to be like, are we doing this craft? Are we doing this sort of working toward this donation? Are we doing this? Are we doing that? It it's really a lot to try to do all these things. And so I feel like there's this thing out there about like the magical experience. And I think that if you are a parent who comes to that really naturally, because I think some people do, I think it's how they like express their creativity is through setting up challenges and kind of different things like that. So it's not to take away from people getting right into it and doing things like that, but it's not going to work for everybody. And so for me, a way to kind of counter that is, yeah, just kind of keeping that ambiance or sort of that, I can't think of what the word I used to, but there's just like a culture of festivity in the way that we, you know, Ashley, when we talked to Kendall for the steering, the steering episode, we were talking about different sensory things, right? So I guess it's just kind of back to that, you know, are we lighting a candle? Are we having some music on? Do we have a couple of, you know, seasonal puzzles out that we want to do? It doesn't have to be, like kids will be okay if we don't do every little thing that we see. And just reminding ourselves that the things that we see people doing, if they're real life people that we know, if they're on the internet, those people aren't doing all the same things that everybody else is doing. Like we're taking in so many different ideas, but they're only doing their piece of it. So that's something for me, is just kind of creating more of that atmosphere than trying to hit all the activities. Like, yeah.
Yeah. What's coming to mind is, and how do I put this? 'Cause you're right. If you're the type of parent who loves that, and that's, you know, you enjoy all of that, so you do all of that, there's nothing wrong with that. But if I'll just say, if I, and maybe some years I do get into all of that, but there's definitely been many years where I don't have the energy for that. So if I were to think I have to do all of this for my kids to have a magical holiday season, they would have a very grumpy mom. So I always think, it's, you know what, I can go back to the, it's why I choose not to take on making Christmas dinner, because I would be a grumpy mom all day Christmas preparing Christmas dinner. And I would rather my kids, I mean, I think we see this message coming out there in like social media and stuff too. The kids are going to remember what mood their parents are in. And if the parents are stressed because they're trying to do all the Christmas activities, they're cooking the special meals, you know, that just comes with a lot of stress. That's not what we actually want for our kids. Do the kids even enjoy all of those activities, right? So I think like kids have a lot of fun just playing. And I love what you said, Erin, about, you know, there can be the twinkling lights and there can be the music and there's the lights outside that are just out there that you can just drive past and see. Like you feel the festive spirit just through all of that, like through your environment. So for us to say, no, thank you, no to this, no to that, and be more calm and just be able to enjoy the moment with our kids, the festive moments and the non-festive moments, but you're not stressed out. I have to remind myself of that, that my kids would rather, I mean, I certainly think that they would rather that than me being all stressed out, but here's Christmas dinner. So that's the reminder I give myself.
Well, and I also think about what are the regular things that I can just kind of flip? So just an example, last night I was at a bulk food store and I was getting pretzels. And so I chose the pretzels with the Christmas tree shapes. And it's stuff like that, right? It's the same amount of time. It's not any different, but you're just getting, I think I did something similar with stuff for baking. I just got like festive colors. And so it's kind of like, what are the things, like we often have music playing anyway, and we kind of rotate through different genres and whatever. So what can I just flip out to make it a little bit different? That, yeah, I feel like that kind of thing can go a long way. It just makes, I think we do like to have some novelty throughout the year in different ways. I mean, Ashley, you've talked about this even with the frenzy around, like, well, frenzy is my word, but the fall the fall stuff, yeah. right? The apple picking, the pumpkin picking, the hayride, whatever. It's like, it's okay if you don't hit it all. And yet still acknowledging that I think we do as people like to kind of acknowledge different seasonal things. So what are the simple ways that we can just make things a little bit special without, you know, because I think sometimes to go back to the idea that maybe we feel pressure as home educating parents, like sometimes if you go into a school or you drive by a school and or a childcare center and they've got, you know, really cool display out, how much of that was even the, like,
yeah.
you know, there's a whole lot of bulletin board work being done by teachers and yeah. whatever. And then the child maybe does a little thing and, but it looks really impressive when it's all put together. And that, I mean, that's wonderful. It's fun to have a little piece of something that comes together in a really big way. I'm not putting that down, but I think we can forget when we see things. I mean, it's not like the children were part of that whole moment, or that way more than one moment, right? Of that whole process, I think is what I meant to say.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the little things. I agree. I'll just quickly say what's coming to mind is, well, I'm losing the second one, but the one is we have this little Christmas mouse decoration. We've had it for years. I don't know where it came from. It wasn't a big thing. We just had it, but the kids have over the years played with it and made imaginary games up around this mouse. And it's such a little simple thing, but like, that's what is important to them. And like, so just listening to them talk about the things that they remember and what they look forward to, like this year, the mouse didn't come out right away because we didn't pull all the decorations out at once. And they were like, where's the Christmas mouse? There was a second, oh, I had a second example, but it's just a little thing that I wouldn't think anything of, but it's like the meaning that they attach to it. So we also can't predict, I guess, what will have that lasting impact with them or create the special memories. Like, we have to kind of let go and realize that those will happen. And, you know, we don't need to put in a ton of effort to make sure that they happen.
Yeah. The other one that I just wanted to mention is the idea of traditions and just being aware of, you know, different kids attach, well, you maybe kind of alluded to it, Ashley, different kids attach importance to different traditions, and like we do as well. And just a little bit of sort of intentional prep work, that sometimes those traditions change. Sometimes the people that we're visiting or the, like, even, I know we keep talking about parades, but even the parade this year took a different route. And my son actually had popped down on his own to see it. And because he's such a tradition person, and he's like, yeah, it was completely different this year. They did it differently. They started it differently. The theme was very different. And you could tell he was like,
right.
like, I don't know about that. And, you know, I just had an experience the other day where I was talking to my dad. I was over at their place. And one of the things I really have always liked about Christmas there is that there's sort of a quieter room where the Christmas tree is. And it just feels like it's away from, you know, not that people don't go in there because the Christmas tree is there, but you know, after dinner or if people are, you know, around the TV, that kind of thing, it's kind of a place that's just very, you know, dark except for the Christmas lights. And I've always really liked it there. And he very casually said, oh yeah, we're not going to put the tree in there this year. It's over by the TV. And you know, I'm like a middle-aged person. And I was like, you know, it took me a minute. And I'm like, oh wait, that's not where it goes. So I think that helps us have some empathy for our kids too, because even as, you know, adults, we have moments where we're like, wait, but that's not how that's supposed to go, or that's not the root of the parade, or that's not what we eat on this particular day. So I just kind of trying to keep that flexibility in mind, both for myself, like I'm a tradition person. So for myself, and then for, you know, if I have kids who are a little more attached to things being a certain way than others.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does anybody have, oh, I had one more actually, and it was financial. I don't know. Yeah, if we have a couple minutes, and I have no, it's funny because I think we were talking about things that we find ideas that work. And this is what I'm still working on. But I think it's helpful to be intentional about like how we're thinking about things financially, not necessarily tied to a budget. But I think those, you know, we've been talking about having these open conversations with kids too, even in terms of like, if they're giving to other people, what are they thinking? You know, do they have a budget? Are they preferring to make things? Are they going to offer to do something for somebody? Maybe they're not even gift people. But I think that that can be interesting too, just to talk to our kids around stuff. And then for myself, I find I'm still really working this out for myself because I often end up doing a lot of spending the last couple of days that I didn't intend to do, just thinking, is this enough? Is that enough? Maybe I'll add a little bit of this to, you know, so-and-so's present or whatever. And so that's definitely something that I think about each year, but haven't really come up with any sort of different way of doing it. I think it might just be who I am, and that's okay. Maybe that's the intention, to just sort of know.
Yeah.
I'm going to suddenly go wild the last 2 days for some reason. And it is what it is. I don't know. But I just wanted to put that in there.
Oh, I like that, Erin. That acceptance of, at the end of the day, it's okay, just learning that or understanding that about yourself and being like, you know what, I'm okay with that. It's not, maybe it's not perfect or ideal or whatever, but there's something in, I think there's some value in just being like, that's who I am and I'm going to be okay with that. I think it's actually a really good point to bring up is the financial part of it and being intentional around that. I mean, I think a lot of people can relate to that around the holidays. That's something that I'm probably similar to you. So maybe that kind of goes back to what we were talking about as far as like not getting our shopping done early. That might be a little bit of a challenge to, you know, like we want to pick up those more last minute gifts because maybe someone's asked for something last minute, or like you said, maybe you realize like, oh, I didn't quite get enough or as much as I wanted for that person. So that's a little bit tricky because it's harder to kind of stick to a budget or something like that, right? So all I've really done, because I haven't come up with much either, but what I do now is I just use the Notes app on my phone. And I really like how it lets you add it, like it's a checklist. So you can just tap it to check it off when you have it done. So I put kind of my Christmas shopping, which you could do it for, you know, holiday baking or whatever, like, you know, money that you might want to spend going to Christmas, like gatherings or events or something as well, because you always pick up stuff on the way. But for like Christmas shopping, I have a list just because I need to keep track of what I got, because I kind of spread that out. And I do now add in what like each item, not the smaller items, but like what the items cost. It's not perfect. It doesn't work great still, but it's what I've come up with so far to provide myself with like a somewhat easy way. Like it's just on my phone, so I can just pull it up whenever, and kind of keep track of that so that I am being at least a little bit more intentional around the financial part of it, because otherwise it'll be after Christmas and then I'll look at it and I'll go, oh, whoops.
Yeah, I can relate to that, Ashley. Oh my gosh. Is there anything else, or have we?
I guess I'd just like to say that going back to the joy list, I do have a printable that you can download from my website, which I think we'll put the link in the show notes. And also thinking about lists, I also have a blog post about what I call self-soothing checklists, which is a different sort of list where you list things that help you to feel better. And it's kind of being more intentional, I suppose, about self-care and being having a list of things that you can refer to in times of stress, but also being proactive and getting to those restful activities as a matter of kind of daily living, rather than waiting until you're really stressed and then going to those self-soothing activities. About having a bit of a balance. And I think, and I've also got a blog post about calming kits, which I think you were talking, Ashley, about, I think it was you were talking about sensory things, weren't you? And right. Yeah. And I mean, if you're thinking about not I was just going to say little children, but it's not just little children. It can be very useful for us as well, for adults or bigger children or whatever, to have a calming kit that you can either have at home or you can have take with you with different sensory pieces in it that might help us to relax in stressful situations. Can also be quite helpful. So those are links that we'll put in the notes, and hopefully they might be helpful to some people. And have a lovely festivities, everyone.
Thank you. And Haley, thank you for bringing those up because I think you've got a few holiday links that we.
Yeah,
Yes, I think there could
I
be.
do have a few Christmas posts, yeah, or festive times posts, yeah.
And we also have we have a holiday episode from last year that we'll post as well. And anything else that we come up with in the meantime that we think about.
Yeah.
But this has been so good. Thank you both.
Yeah, thank
Yeah,
you.
it's been
Happy
great.
holidays, everyone.
Yeah. We'll speak to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And this ends our conversation today. We hope you found it interesting and maybe helpful. If you'd like to connect further or see additional content, Haley can be found on the web and on Instagram at Taking a Kinder Path. Erin can be found at Everlearning. And I, Ashley, can be found on Instagram at AshleyAsMama and at Storytime Shelves. We'd be very grateful if you'd share this conversation with anyone you think might appreciate it. Thank you for your time today.